Can we give it up for our worship team and our God at the same time? I just got one question before we get going here. I love the It Is Well song, but there is a word in there, Satan should buffet. I thought it looked like buffet. And now I know why I need to stay away from the Golden Corral. And I got to admit, it's tempting and it's pleasure to the eye. And we need to stay away from it. All right. It's not really buffet. It's buffet, which I don't know what that word means, but we're just going to move on. If you do have your Bible, I want to open up to the same passage of scripture we were at last week in Luke 5. And if you were here last week, we discussed Luke 5 when Jesus called the disciples, the first four here, Peter, his brother Andrew, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They had cast all night and caught nothing. And Jesus said, hey, cast one more time, Peter. And they were there, and some of the disciples were cleaning their nets and ready to call it a night and go home for the day and get some rest. And they had toiled all night, it said. But what I want to do today is I want to build upon what we discussed last week. Because last week, the title of the message was, Just One More Cast. And I encouraged you to make just one more cast. The prayer may not have been answered yet, but pray one more time. The healing may not have come yet, but believe and hope one more time. And I encouraged you to make one more cast. And cast was defined by your calling. So if it is to preach or to sing or to share or to evangelize, continue doing it one more time. Keep doing it. And the gist of it was not to quit and just clean the nets for the day and go home, but to keep grinding, keep working, keep casting, because we never know when that prayer is going to be answered. We never know when that belief and that hope is finally going to show something. We never know when that mountain is finally going to be moved. So, last week we talked about casting and continuing to cast. This week I want to build onto it, and I want to title our talk today, No More Empty Nets. No More Empty Nets. Hey, make sure you can hear me, because I got a joke for you, dear, when you get out there. I got something good for you, baby. I love my wife. I love this church, too. But no more empty nets. No more empty nets. So let's go ahead and read together Luke chapter 5 one more time before we get into it. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when they had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking, and they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Again, no more empty nets. So last week we talked about casting, continuing to cast, continuing to pray, continuing to love, continuing to serve, continuing to give, continuing to work. To not give up, to not quit, to not quit. And let's just talk about something here. You and I are the result of someone or many people continuing to cast and not giving up. So I've been here for a little over 3 years now, and I am truly blessed with the opportunity that God has given to my wife and I, our family. And I love it here. I love you all and I'm thankful for everything that we do here. And we are blessed by it. We've gotten to meet some great people, to build strong relationships, and to grow in remarkable ways. But as a kid growing up, I was what I called magnetized at 7 years old, baptized. I thought it was magnetized, and I was expecting some powers coming out. And so I was magnetized, and I was young. I didn't really know much, but I was a decent kid for a few years there. And then I got into my teenage years and did teenage things. Then I found this young girl, Michaela Stringer. We started talking and texting, and then we became a thing. And I can still remember coming to Pleasant Hill Christian Church years ago, coming with my buddy. We would come over here because this is where she came for years. I can still remember the first time we ever hung out. My buddy and I were in his black Camaro, and we pulled up to the front door there. And at the front door is a sign above the door that's still above the door. It's a wooden sign still there, I believe. And here comes Jeff Gibson Jr. and Michaela. And the whole time we were dating, he was reminding her, you need to dump him. He ain't worth your time, and you can do better. Amen. And there were many like-minded souls warning her. And I can still remember we got in the car and we hung out for a while, and I was late for curfew, got grounded for 2 months, and the rest is history after that. We got pulled over in Leadwood. Everybody gets pulled over in Leadwood, and my buddy's windows were too dark, and I don't know. We just had a horrible time. I get home, and I'm grounded for 2 or 3 months later. But anyway, we're still together today. Let me just tell you something, though. As I was a kid growing up into my teenage years and still to this day, I had grandparents that would pick my sister, my brother, and I. My brother, I'm not going to point him out, but I will tell you he's pretty tall, handsome-looking guy with a slight beard. He shaved a little bit. He is towards the back of the church, got his hair combed. He has a wonderful, beautiful wife named Hannah and a very, very, very wonderful, beautiful boy named Noah. They're back there. I'm not going to point them out to you, but they're back there. And we are the result. You are also the result of someone that continued to pray and to give and to love and to serve. But my grandparents would pick us up every week for church. And then they would take us to lunch at the Fort Davidson or the Blue Haven. And then we would go back to church at night on Sunday. And then we would go to church on Wednesday. And like we were always in church. And they would drop us off and they would pick us up and they would drop us off and they would pick us up. And my grandma tells me to this day, we never stopped praying for you all. We never stopped. So I remember when I was in, I believe, North Carolina, my brother was baptized. And my sister, who doesn't attend here but attends regularly and serves in various capacities in another church. And we are the result. My family is truly the result. But here's the other deal. Michaela and I got married a little over 7 years ago. Pray for her. And it has been a long road. But every single week after we got married, she would ensure that we were in church somewhere. Every single week, she was waking me up and at times making sure that my sorry self was in church. Didn't matter how late I was up Saturday night. It didn't matter what we did. She was the one that continued to cast on my behalf. She continued to serve. She continued to pray for me. She continued to read. And finally it clicked when I got into a great church in North Carolina, and it felt like the pastor and I were the only two in the sanctuary of about 900 people. It was like I left every Sunday wondering, what did my wife tell him this week? He knows everything I'm doing wrong. He knows everything I've done. And I felt convicted and encouraged at the same time every Sunday because he was preaching everything I had done wrong, but telling me how I could do it right. Just so he could come back next week and be reminded I did it all wrong again, but I can do it right. And finally, it came to a point in which I saw something in my wife that I did not have. And that was a true, genuine relationship with the Lord. And I am here today simply because of people casting on my behalf, getting on their knees on my behalf, praying and fasting on my behalf, preaching to me and evangelizing to me and encouraging me on my behalf. People that did not quit but continued to cast on my behalf. And I told her this morning, I said, you know, I'm going to mention you today that you've continued to cast on my behalf. And she said, make sure you tell the people. that I have caught one in a lifetime kind of man. She said to me that you are, Trevor, the catch of a lifetime. Something like that. I was in the shower and I don't remember what she said. I may have had water in my ear. But people cast it on my behalf. People have cast it on your behalf. You were probably sitting in the chair that you're in right now because people have been on their knees that you don't even know about. People have brought light to you that you did not want to even accept, but they brought it anyway. People loved you when you felt unlovable. People helped you when you felt helpless. People prayed for you. People prayed with you. People answered your call. People replied to your text. People have continued to cast for you. Now it's your turn. Now it's my turn to continue casting in order to receive a catch. No more empty nets. No more empty nets. What I want you to understand is that all of us have the potential to catch people for the Lord. God has given you abilities that I may not have, your neighbor may not have, to catch people for Him. There are people that will not be in church unless you do the work that God has called you to do. People have casted for you. They have casted for me. Now it is our time and our turn to cast for others in order to catch. See, I think that, let's just kind of walk through Peter's life. I don't know what he did growing up, but I know that he was a fisherman. And I know that his brother Andrew introduced him to Jesus. And then later he was called by Jesus to be his disciple. Well, then after being his disciple for a little while, Jesus looked at him and said, "Hey, you are going to be the rock in which I build my church. You, Peter, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Then we know Peter, he was a normal guy, had a short temper and a loud mouth and lost his cool and made mistakes. Yet there was one time that, so he started as a fisherman, he was introduced, he was invited, and then he was referred to as the rock, and then he made mistakes. He abandoned Jesus on the cross. Yet then Jesus makes breakfast for him after his resurrection. They're eating on the ocean, on the beach there. And then Peter goes on to preach the first sermon in the church era in which 3,000 people were saved. 3,000. So when you think about Peter in this very moment, it's almost as if Jesus uses this moment to show him a great catch that would actually be a visual for him for his future to come. Because when he preached the very first sermon and 3,000 people confess their faith in Jesus, they repent and are baptized, that's a lot of people. In order to minister to that many people, he needed help. Just as he needed help getting all of these fish in to the shore, he needed help. So it's almost as if Jesus uses this as a visual to prepare him for his future. And then Peter goes on to preach to multiple tribes and nations and sees thousands upon thousands of people saved. And I want you to know that you can be just like Peter. You can be a normal person, working a normal job, doing normal things. But the moment you surrender yourself fully to the Lord and commit yourself completely to His mission, He will take an ordinary person and do extraordinary things in him. And you can be, and I can be the person that we see people caught for the Lord. That is our mission. Our mission isn't to grow comfortable and say, "We've made it. We got a full house today. We got chairs on the side, chairs on the stage. We got chairs everywhere. We've made it." No. The mission of our church is never to fill this place as it is to fill His home forever. My goal is, yeah, it's nice to have a full house and that's wonderful. But now we might move into an opportunity to do it twice a Sunday. Reach more people. Because we all know those people that need to be here. who are broken and bound to sin, carrying shame, struggling with addiction, and those people are drowning themselves in sin. And it's our duty and our responsibility to cast continuously for them in order to one day the Spirit of the Lord convict them in such a way that they are hooked and that they are caught. So later in the book of Luke, Jesus is out with his disciples and he tells them right before he sends them out. And if you're ever wanting to get involved in ministry, let me read you something that Jesus said to his disciples, and I'll encourage you with this. He said, "I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." I just wanted to share that with you and encourage you to get involved in ministry. We need your help. All right. But before he says that, he looks at his disciples and he sees all the people. And he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then he goes on to say, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest." Just as I would tell you today, church, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful. And I'm just going to stop right now for just a second. I just want you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Can we pray together? Let us pray as a church. Father God, I just want right now that everybody may not even know why we're praying to just pray and thank you for who you are. But also, we ask you to do a mighty work and answer the prayer concern that is evident right now, that some may not even know of. But I pray that you perform your mighty hand and you heal and you restore and you touch where it needs to be touched. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And there they are. And Jesus says, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest." And I want you to know that as he was looking at the people then, he could look at people today. And I want you to do one thing with me now. I want you to visualize, whether you have to do it with eyes closed or eyes open. If you can visualize with me, and I'll do it with my eyes closed. So if you want to do it with your eyes closed, it'll make you feel more spiritual and more mature if you do it. But if you can visualize with me right now, I want you to do something. If we were to truly believe that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, what that means is there are plenty of people that you know and that you may love dearly that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord. They do not have the personal relationship with their King that you and I may have. So right now, as you visualize with your eyes open or your eyes closed, however you must do it, I want you to visualize three people that you know, that you love, that you care for, that you do life with, that you call family or friend. Visualize those three people that need to be delivered from sin, delivered from addiction. Those people that need to be set free from things of this world that are living them, drowning themselves in sin. Visualize three people. Now, I want you to view them as the catch. View them as the next catch. And you can open your eyes, and I just want you to ponder those three people. Maybe you know more than that. Maybe you know tons of people that need to be here, that need to be loved by the body of Christ, that need to be set free from sin and shame. Maybe you know plenty of people that are living according to the ways of the world and have not truly surrendered themselves fully to Jesus as Lord and are not living according to his word and his way. Now, here is the thing. Jesus said, look, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. Laborers are referred to as workers. Workers. Laborers. Workers. I talked about it last week. In order for us to continue casting, we must know that it takes a lot of work to operate in ministry and to do things as a church. It takes a lot of hard work. And in order for you to see those three people ever come to faith in Jesus Christ, you better be ready to work. You better be ready to cast on their behalf, praying for them, praying with them, loving them, serving them, helping them, encouraging them, bringing light into their darkness, being the hands and feet of Jesus to them that they don't even know yet. But in my heart, I am looking at people in my life, in my friends group, in my family that need to be here. They need to be set free from whatever it is holding them captive to this world. And I can rest assured that once they are set free, the Bible says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know people that need to be set free. You know people who are living in and held captive by sin. But we must be ready to be laborers. Because here is the thing. Here's the question of the day. You ready? Question of the day. Are you lazy or laboring? Are we lazy for the Lord or are we laboring? And I know it sounds, that's harsh. But if you remain lazy for the Lord, you'll never have a catch. If you want to labor for the Lord, you may just have a catch. And if you would surrender yourself fully to the Lord and completely commit to His mission and continue casting, even though it may not be easy, even though you may not view it worth anything, if you would keep casting, you might just see over the course of your life having a catch in which is represented in Luke chapter 5, in which there are people that you never would have thought you could have caught, but now they're serving and worshiping the Lord with you. Let's be honest. Look around this place. Did you ever picture that every single person here would be here today? Did you always imagine that these people would be your church family today? Are there people in your family that may not worship here but are now worshiping the Lord that you never would have imagined would be serving and worshiping the way that they are? And there are more people to continue to catch, but here's the thing. We must be willing to cast. We must be willing to cast and to labor and to work and to serve. If we remain lazy, we will have no catch. If we just come in, I have a great time at church. You get first class comedy every time you come. And second class maybe. But every time we come, I have a great time. I love preaching. I love worshiping. I love seeing church family and friends. I love coming to life group and being a part of that and digging into God's word and Bible study and Sunday school and growing myself as an individual. But we can get into the mindset of we've made it, there's no more work to do. Raise your hand if you know three people that need to be, maybe not just right here in this church, but in church altogether. Just raise your hand if you know three people. Just three. Just keep them up. Just keep them up. I want to look around. Now, if they're next to you, just keep it up and keep your mouth shut. All right? They're here. All right? We're working on them. So if we ever get into the mindset of we've made it, you need to look around. There were hands up everywhere. You can put them down. You don't have to hold them up. There were hands everywhere. There is still so much work to do, church. And I'm asking you to join us now in this season to start laboring. And I want us to declare today as a body, united today, that as long as there is breath in my lungs and there is strength in my body, I will not allow and I will do everything there is possible within my own strength and my own service, my own sacrifice, my own life to declare out loud that as long as I live, I will not carry empty nets any longer. Can we declare today that as long as we are here and as long as there is breath in our lungs and strength in our body, that we will not carry empty nets any longer? No more empty nets. Now, there is a catch to this. A catch. I want to grow attendees to be stronger disciples. And we should focus on growing attendance to see new disciples. But what you have to understand as we close this and conclude this service is that you cannot make a disciple of Jesus Christ if you don't first know him. You cannot see people grow spiritually if you have no interest in it. So when he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Like I believe he is telling us today, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers into his harvest. What he is simply saying is pray that God will send disciples out to make more disciples. But we cannot make disciples of something that we do not truly know or believe. So if you decide, I'm all in, let's go two services, let's advance the gospel here on earth, let's make disciples of all people, then you must first be committed to him. You must first surrender all things to him. And as we pray today that the Lord will send out more laborers into his harvest, can I tell you that you may just be the answer to that prayer? Your neighbor may be the answer to that prayer. The person sitting in front of you or even behind you may be the answer to the prayer of, Father, send out laborers into your harvest and draw your people. But we must first surrender to him. And we must completely commit ourselves to his work. It is bigger than me. It is bigger than you. It is all for him. Let us pray.